Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to Quarter Three of 2019 JinkoSolar Holdings Company Limited Earnings Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to queue for a question, you will need to press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Ms. Ripple Zhang. Thank you, Ripple. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today for JinkoSolar's third quarter 2019 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Mr. Chen Kangping, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Charlie Cao, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Jin Miao, Chief Marketing Officer. Mr. Chen will discuss JinkoSolar's business operations and the company highlights, followed by Mr. Miao, who will talk about the sales and marketing, and then Mr. Cao, who will go through the financials. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the Safe Harbor provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements except as required under the applicable law. It's now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Chen Kangping, CEO of JinkoSolar. Mr. Chen will speak in Mandarin and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Chen.
谢谢李波，各位早上晚上好，感谢大家参加今天的电话会议。
Thank you, Ripple. Good morning and good evening to everyone, and thank you for joining us today.
本季度是公司里程碑式的一个季度，我们开始越来越多的受益于对技术的投资、领先的一体化生产成本以及快速增加的单晶硅片产能。我们的盈利能力稳步增强，毛利率得到持续的提升。 本季度营业收入 10.5亿美金， 环比增长 8.2%， 同比增长 11.8%。 由于我们一体化制造成本的稳步下降 和销售价格的环比提升， 本季度我们的毛利率达到了 21.3%， 不含退税达到了 18.5%， 同比提升约 6个百分点。 运营利润和净利润分别大幅上升至 8940万美金 和5090万美金， 同比和环比均上升2到3倍。 随着四季度和明年单晶硅片产能的持续释放和制造成本的进一步下降， 我们的整体盈利水平将得到持续的提升。
I'm pleased to report strong operational and financial results for the third quarter, which I believe marks a turning point for our business as we begin to increasingly benefit from our investments in technology, leading integrated cost structure and expanding mono-wafer capacity, which will steadily strengthen our overall profitability and expand margins going forward. Total revenues during the quarter were $1.05 billion, an increase of 8.2% sequentially and 11.8% year over year. Our leading integrated production costs continued to fall and ASP went up sequentially, allowing us to initiate a reset of our gross margins and expanded to 21.3% during the quarter, excluding the benefit from anti-dumping and countervailing duties. Gross margin still increased a solid 6 percentage points year over year to 18.5%. Our margin receipt supported record high operational profit of $89.4 million and a net income of $50.9 million, significant increases of almost two to three times sequentially and year after year. year-over-year as our mono-wafer production capacity ramps up and we further optimize our cost structure. In the fourth quarter and 2020, our overall profitability will continue to steadily improve.
今年中国市场由于政策出台较晚, 大量竞价项目在三季度处于招标和准备阶段, 从而带来市场需求在四季度和明年一季度的集中。我们预计未来半年中国市场的装机需求都将持续旺盛。 近日，国家可再生能源信息管理中心官方透露， 相关政府部门正在加紧研究2020年度光伏发电补贴政策， 预计较早出台的补贴政策和平价项目的增多将支撑明年不低于40G瓦的装机量。 同时，本季度中国出台了电力交易市场化的政策，以求支持实体经济淘汰煤电落后产能。从长远来看，凭借快速下降的成本优势和持续的技术迭代，光伏行业在市场化的环境中将能更快地实现传统能源替代。
Due to the delayed announcement of the government's subsidy policy for PV projects in China earlier this year, a large number of projects' bids remained in the bidding or preparation stages during the third quarter, which resulted in many of them being pushed back into the fourth quarter and the first quarter next year. This delay is expected to drive strong domestic demand over the next 6 months, especially since the National Renewable Energy Information Management Center recently announced that it's speeding up the formulation of a subsidy policy for PV projects in 2020. The early release of next year's subsidy policy and an increasing number of grid parity projects will support demand next year, which is expected to increase strongly and exceed 40 gigawatts. In addition, the Chinese government released a policy that creates the foundation for a market-based mechanism to facilitate electricity trade to drive economic growth and help phase out coal-fired power plant nationwide. Over the long run, solar power will gradually replace traditional source of energy at a faster rate when done under market conditions that help support the continued reduction in production costs and the continued development of new technologies.
2019年全球范围内低电价的光伏项目屡屡出现。根据彭博的数据， 2019年光伏在超过10个国家 已是成本最低的发电技术。过去光伏行业存在产能周期和盈利周期的波动，随着光伏相对于传统能源全面平价的日益临近和在可再生能源中的竞争力日益提升，我们对明年全球的装机量保持乐观， 预计2020年 全球需求相较2019年有20%左右的增幅。
In 2019, a number of PV projects were put into operation globally that are able to generate power at extremely low prices. According to data from Bloomberg, PV is now the lowest cost energy source in over 10 countries. In the past, PV was hampered by fluctuations in production capacity and profitability circles, with the cost of solar energy now falling below traditional energy sources and the competitiveness increasing in renewable energy. We are very confident and optimistic that global demand will increase strongly next year. Based on our current estimates, we believe installations next year will be approximately 20% higher than this year.
单晶硅片方面, 公司从2016年开始制造单晶硅片, 经过3年生产和技术的积累, 实现了今年四川第一期 5G瓦 单晶硅片项目的快速投产和满产，二期的 5G瓦 单晶硅片项目也将在明年二季度实现满产。这充分体现了我们的战略眼光和高效的执行力，快速完成的技术转型和产量提升，将支撑我们明年高效单晶产品的出货比例高达 99%。 我们生产的单晶硅片在质量上具备低氧高寿命，从而使得电子产品低光衰高效率， 同时，我们的制造成本稳步下降，处于行业领先，高质量低成本单晶硅片产能的提高，带动垂直一体化制造比例的显著提高，从而让我们能够保持成本领先和保证稳定的毛利率。
We began our technological transformation back in 2016 when we began producing mono wafer and have since then accumulated 3 years of operational and technical expertise, which we applied to our mono production facility in Leshan, Sichuan province. This technological transformation is now complete, with phase one of the production facility having ramped up to full 5 gigawatt capacity, and phase two of the production facility reaching full 5 gigawatt capacity during the second quarter of 2020. I believe this reflects our strategic foresight and the ability to rapidly execute. We are at a strategic turning point in our corporate history, with mono-based high-efficiency products accounting for nearly 75% of the total shipments during the quarter, which is expected to increase to 99% of total shipments in 2020. Our mono-wafer products have low oxygen content and extended operational lifetimes, which makes the cell products low, light decay, and high efficiency. At the same time, our manufacturing costs have steadily declined to quickly become the industry benchmark. The increased production capacity for our high quality and low cost leading mono wafers have facilitated a significant increase in the proportion of products made through our fully integrated manufacturing process, which allow us to maintain an industry leading cost structure and ensure stable gross margin going forward.
高效电池方面，今年六月，公司N型电池最高转换效率经中科院测试达到24.58%，刷新了行业纪录。三季度我们投产了800兆瓦的N型电池产能，将在四季度实现满产。通过新技术开发和材料创新，N型电池的量产效率预期未来可实现24%以上，各项指标实现全面行业领先。
The efficiency of our N-type cells reached a record high of 24.58% during testing conducted by the Chinese Academy of Science in June. We expand our production capacity of N-type cells to 800 megawatts during third quarter and are currently ramp up to full production in the fourth quarter. By developing new technologies and driving innovations in materials, our mass produced N-type cell efficiency leads the industry across a range of indicators and is expected to exceed 24% efficiency in the future.
组件产品方面，近期我们发布了新型 Tiger 组件，该系列组件输出功率显著提高，为客户带来更低的度电成本和更好的内部收益率，在性能改善的同时，并为增加安装难度。Tiger 组件在 高效单晶 9BB 技术的基础上，结合新型叠焊技术，使得组件效率高达 20.78%， 输出功率高达460瓦。同时适用于大型地面电站和分布式项目。同时，我们正在强化的一体化生产能力，可使不断迭代的创新产品快速实现量产，从而在质量、成本和时间上保证产品的竞争力。
We recently unveiled a new Tiger module, which offers our clients significantly improved efficiency, lower production costs, and a better internal rate of return. Using 9 busbar mono perc and tiling ribbon technology, the module realized 20.78% efficiency and a peak power output of 460 watt, providing an easy performance boost that doesn't require much extra effort to install. The Tiger module is suitable for both utility and rooftop installations. Meanwhile, we are strengthening our in-house integrated capacity to rapidly put new iterations of our high-quality innovative products into mass production, which ensures their competitiveness.
高效产能方面，公司的硅片、电子片和组件的产能 在三季度末分别达到 14.5G瓦、9.2G瓦和15G瓦， 其中包括 11G瓦的单晶硅片产能和 9.2G瓦的薄荷电池产能。 我们预期 2019年年底 公司的硅片、电子片和组件的产能分别达到 15G瓦、 10.6G瓦和16G瓦， 其中包括 11.5G瓦的单晶硅片产能、 9.8G瓦的薄荷电池产能和800兆瓦的 N 型电池产能。 我们预期 2020年底，公司的硅片、电子片和组件的产能将分别达到20吉瓦、10.6吉瓦和22吉瓦，其中包括18吉瓦的单晶硅片产能、9.8吉瓦的薄荷电池产能和800兆瓦的 N 型电池产能。
Our in-house high-efficiency annual silicon wafer, solar cell, and solar module production capacity has now reached 14.5 gigawatt, 9.2 gigawatt, and 15 gigawatt, respectively, by the end of the third quarter of 2019. This includes 11 gigawatt of mono wafer capacity and 9.2 gigawatt of PERC cell capacity. By the end of 2019, we expect our in-house annual silicon wafer, solar cell, and solar module production capacity to reach 15 gigawatt, 10.6 gigawatt, and 16 gigawatt, respectively, which includes 11.5 gigawatt of mono capacity, 9.8 gigawatt of PERC cell capacity, and 800 megawatt of N-type cell capacity. By the end of 2020, we expect our in-house annual silicon wafer, solar cell, and solar module production capacity to reach 20 gigawatt, 10.6 gigawatt, and 22 gigawatt, respectively, which includes 18 of mono capacity, 9.8 gigawatt of PERC cell capacity, and 800 megawatt of N-type cell capacity.
随着我们技术转型升级的完成，我们领先的一体化制造成本、完善的全球营销网络和高质量的产品都将为我们带来巨大的增量机会，从而使我们的整体盈利能力和盈利质量得到持续提升，在中国市场需求快速增加，海外市场需求被平价上网而清洁能源政策大力推动下，四季度仍然值得期待。我们预期公司2019年四季度组件出货量在 4.2 吉瓦到 4.4 吉瓦之间，营收在 11.7 亿美金和 12.3 亿美金之间，毛利率在 18.5% 和 20.5% 之间。2019年全年公司组件出货量在14吉瓦到 14.2 吉瓦之间。
With our technological transformation complete,We are now at a turning point in which our technology, leading integrated cost structure, global footprint, high quality products will open up enormous new growth opportunities and strengthen our overall profitability and margin profile going forward. With domestic demand rebounding strongly and overseas demand driven by grid parity and aggressive new clean energy targets,We expect the fourth quarter to be a big quarter for us. Based on current estimates, for the fourth quarter of 2019, we expect total solar module shipments to be in the range of 4.2 gigawatt to 4.4 gigawatt. Total revenue for the fourth quarter is expected to be in the range of $1.17 billion to $1.23 billion. Gross margin for the fourth quarter is expected to be between 18.5% and 20.5%. For the full year 2019, the company estimates total solar module shipment to be in the range of 14 gigawatt to 14.2 gigawatt.
传统上，我们会在报告第四季度业绩发布下一年的全年指引。由于我们高效单晶产品的市场需求在全球快速增长，我们决定提前一个季度释放对明年强劲增长的预期。我们预计2020年全年太阳能组件总出货量将在18吉瓦到20吉瓦之间，同比增长约 35%。
We traditionally release full year guidance when we report the fourth quarter of the previous year, but with the demand growing rapidly both domestically and overseas for our high efficiency mono products, we have strategically decided to convey our confidence in next year's strong growth a quarter earlier than expected.Based on current expectations, we expect the total solar module shipment to be in the range of 18 gigawatt to 20 gigawatt for the full year 2020, an increase around 35% year over year.
谢谢雷鹏。接下来，现在我将话题交给 Jenna。
Thank you, Ripple. With that, I will turn it over to Jenna.
Thank you, Ms. Chen. Total shipments in the third quarter were 3,300 megawatts.Flat with the second quarter. with a large number of domestic installation delayed into the fourth quarter and the first quarter of next year, overseas shipments accounted for 90% of our order book during this quarter. ASPs has risen sequentially. We are at a strategic turning point in our corporate history, with mono-based high-efficiency products accounting for nearly 75% of the total shipment during this quarter. This number is expected to increase to 99% in 2020, and over 40% of which will be the new products. Due to the late announcement of government policy in China earlier this year, many major developers were forced to delay their projects, with a portion of those installations pushed back into the first quarter of 2020. Delayed demand from 2019, the increased in grid parity projects expected in 2020, as well as the anticipated policy announcement early for next year, leave us very confident and optimistic about domestic demand in 2020 will increase strongly and exceed 40 gigawatts, the majority of which will be composed of grid parity and bidding projects. Demand in U.S. market remained very strong, where many states have begun implementing very aggressive clean energy policies and accelerated the phasing out coal-fired power plants. In California, for example, all new homes will require rooftop solar panels starting next year. There was a rush this year to submit projects in order to secure the highest tax exemption under the solar ITC. A large portion of these projects are expected to drive demand and begin installation over the next 4 years. According to the 2019 U.S. installation estimates compiled by Bloomberg, our market share in the U.S. is currently approximately 20%. Recently, we joined the board of the Solar Energy Industry Association, the National Trade Association representing the U.S. solar energy industry, and we are working to further expand the market share by leveraging our leadership in the industry, strong brand recognition, competitive and reliable products, and extensive customer base. Turning to Asia Pacific, we expect a rush for large-scale projects to begin next year in Japan in order to secure the high feed-in tariff. As the nation readies for the Olympic Games next summer, costs are expected to increase as it becomes harder to construct a new installation, which will drive demand for high-efficiency modules. With large-scale projects nearing the end of their growth phase, distributed PV projects will become the next major growth driver in Japan, and India are expected to surge next year with the safeguard tariff reduced to their lowest levels. A new round of FIT is on the way in Vietnam, which will support a stable growth there. In Victoria, Australia, industrial, commercial, and residential projects are expected to grow rapidly following the return of the rooftop solar panel rebates and improved economic efficiency from distributed PV. The renewable energy certificates recently launched in South Korea will drive sustainable demand for floating solar over the next 3 years. Large-scale projects in Thailand, Philippines, and Malaysia are also about to start. In Europe, Germany is building 3 to 4 gigawatts solar power stations as distributed PV continues to grow steadily. Spain has begun phasing out coal-fired power plants and has set an annual installation target of 4 gigawatts. This policy will also remove barriers to grid connection for distributed PV, which will stimulate growth in the industrial and commercial sectors. Installations across Southern Europe are expected to increase as grid parity approaches. Subsidies handed out under the Stimulation of Sustainable Energy Production, SDE+, will continue in Netherlands. distributed installations will also grow strongly across Northern Europe. The bidding mechanisms initiated in France is expected to generate 2 gigawatts of demand annually, while subsidies for small-scale PV systems are driving the merging of distributed PV. Bids for large-scale projects are taking place across the Middle East. Gigawatt-level projects such as Al Dhafra projects in UAE, Sadr projects in Saudi Arabia, and Al Didiba in Kuwait will drive installation demand in the region for the next 3 years. Large-scale bidding projects in Brazil are proceeding according to the plan, while subsidies for distributed projects are driving rapidly growth in industrial and commercial sectors. The Mexican government canceled all bids at the beginning of this year, which has opened up space for the development of a private bidding mechanism, which could possibly become the new business model for purchase of electricity. Demand in Central America is gradually growing as it is in Colombia following the successful launch of their first auction, while recent economic and social unrest in Argentina and Chile has tempered demand. We are confident that Latin American demand overall will continue to increase sustainably over the long term. To conclude, the delay in China of many projects to early next year, a surge in demand from Europe and the U.S. to replace conventional energy sources, large-scale agriculture PV subsidies, and a significant increase in large-scale project installations in India, together with the steady growth in emerging markets such as Middle East, South Africa, Egypt, and Eastern Europe, leave us extremely confident that next year will be a strong year. We have strategically developed our resources globally and now have 7 production facilities supporting shipments to almost 100 countries with over 8,000 orders annually. This has allowed us to take a large market share in many emerging countries. We have proven our ability to navigate difficult market environments over the years, which is a direct result of a flexible and adaptable market-oriented production model. Combined with our global operations, local technology service team, supply chain management, and a differentiated product strategy, we will be able to continue strengthening our market-leading position. We focus on competitiveness of our products as much as demand. Since 2017, we have set 9 world records for cell efficiency and 3 for module efficiency. Continuously investing in R&D has enabled us to launch differentiated and more competitive products at a faster speed. At this turning point, our technology, scale, and the leading cost structure will ideally position us to benefit from emerging opportunities. Our Cheetah series have become the industry standard, and recently we launched a new high-efficiency Tiger module at All Energy Australia 2019, which introduced tiling ribbon technology to the market for the first time. This is another technical advancement that reflects our ability to innovate cutting-edge technology, which all will support the march towards grid parity. Recently, Jinko Solar was recognized along with 52 other manufacturing champions in the latest published list by the MIIT and the CFIE for its excellence in manufacturing of its major products, solar modules, which are defined as enterprise focusing on specific manufacturing segment for the long term. With internationally leading technology and the market share of a single product among the top 3 globally. During the third quarter, we attended 7 trade shows and participated in 44 conferences worldwide. We also hosted over 11 customer events and 57 co-marketing activities with key partners across the globe. We also received 8 awards. We have committed to the RE100 and the EP100 initiatives as the first global solar manufacturer and promised to power all its solar plants and global operations with 100% renewable power by 2025. By 2030, we target to deploy an energy management system across all our operations to improve energy productivity by 30% when compared to 2016. As one of the leading companies in the renewable energy sector, we consider it important to be a responsible role model for a sustainable future. With that, I will pass it over to Charlie.
Thank you, Jeter. We achieved record gross profits and income from operations in Q3 despite push out of China demand. Transitioning to the high efficiency mono technology has been largely completed, making Q3 a turning point for the company. This gross margin reset has been driven by increasing shift towards integrated mono capacity, leading in-house integrated production costs, new premium products, and global footprint. With our strong competitiveness in the industry, we are optimistic for the sustainable growth in the future. Stepping into 2020, we expect total shipments in a range of 18 to 20 gigawatts, mainly underpinned by the strong growth outside China and our diversified customer base globally. The capacity will expand to 20 gigawatts wafer, including 18 gigawatts mono wafer, 10.6 gigawatts high efficiency cell, and 22 gigawatts of solar modules. Mono-based high efficiency products are expected to make close to 100% of our shipments in 2020, and all predominantly served by in-house capacity. The CapEx for 2020 will be around $300 million, significantly lower than in 2019, given our capacity expansion is largely done. We plan to finance the CapEx by onshore renewable infrastructure funds and our operating cash flows. Turning to the strong performance of Q3, total revenue was $1 billion, up 8% quarter over quarter. Gross margin substantially improved to 21.3%. Excluding the AD/CVD reversal benefit, gross margin was 18.5% compared to 16.5% in Q2. Income from operations was $89.4 million, up 136% compared to $37.9 million in Q2. EBITDA was $100 million, up 52% compared to $66 million in Q2. Non-GAAP net income was $42.1 million. This translates into non-GAAP diluted earnings per ADS of 96 cents. Operating expenses were 12.8% of total revenue, excluding the disposal of obsolete equipment. Operating expenses accounted for 12.2% of total revenue compared to 12.8% in the second quarter. Moving to the balance sheet, at the end of Q3, our balance of cash and cash equivalents were $518 million compared to $543 million at the end of Q2. We continued to drive our operating efficiencies. AR turnover days improved to 63 days in Q3 compared to 76 days in Q2. Inventory turnover days reduced to 93 days in Q3 compared to 104 days in the second quarter. Total debt was $1.7 billion compared to $1.9 billion at the end of second quarter, in which $309 million was related to our international solar projects. Net debt was $1.1 billion compared to $1.2 billion at the end of second quarter. The decrease was mainly due to the decrease in the borrowings. In November, we entered an agreement to sell two solar power plants in Mexico with a combined capacity of 155 megawatts. This transaction is subject to customary closing conditions. Once the transaction is completed, the total debt will be reduced by $133 million. The sale of overseas solar power plants is consistent with our growth strategy to focus on our core solar manufacturing business. Regarding our guidance in the fourth quarter, we expect total revenue to be in the range of $1.17 billion to $1.23 billion. We don't expect any AD/CVD reversal benefit in the fourth quarter. The gross margin of fourth quarter is expected to be in the range of 18.5% to 20.5% compared to 18.5% in the third quarter, excluding the AD and CVD reversal benefit. This concludes our remarks on the third quarter. We are now happy to take your questions. Operator.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have any questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press 0 followed by 2. Again, that's 01 on your telephone keypad now. Your first question is from Mahi Manloy from Credit Suisse. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for taking a question. Nice quarter. Can you talk about the order visibility in 2020, just looking at the 18 to 20 gigawatts of shipment guidance? It's a nice 35% uplift. But just wanted to understand which geographies are driving it and how much visibility do you have into that order book as of now?
Thanks for the question. I think we are having over one-third of the order book fulfilled for 2020 right now. We are targeting to increase that level into a higher level by the year-end and the next 2 months' time, let's say. And for the geographic coverage, majority of them are non-China demand, mainly international demand. I think we have secured a lot of global coverage, including Europe, U.S., emerging markets, Asian markets, etc.
Got that. And just on the China market, if you can touch upon the new policy for 2020, when do you expect that announcement to happen? We've been hearing something to happen in the next month or in Q1, but any clarity on when the new subsidy would be announced and then when you can expect the new round of bids in 2020?
I think definitely the lower than expected installation number in China in 2019 will encourage the, let's say, the government side to announce the policy and also the bidding policy for 2020 earlier than, definitely earlier than 2019. We have seen this news coverage about the details or the drafted detail about 2020 policy, such as what's the proposed feeding tariff, ceiling feeding tariff, and also what's the expected installation volume. So from that policy or the rumor side, we are pretty confident on that the policy could be announced in the next 1 to 2 months. Conservatively, at least before Chinese New Year, everything could be set up. And do you need me to remind you on this numbers?
Yeah, sure. That'll be helpful.
Yeah, so according to what we have read on this Chinese newspapers, we have seen the drafted policies are around like 4 cents, 6, sorry, 4 cents, 8 cents, and 10 cents for the utilities, distribution, generation, and the individual homeowners. So we see that draft in the news. So I'm not quite sure what will be the final policy. If that number comes true, we are definitely are expecting over 40 gigawatt installation in 2020.
Charlie, and I just supplement some background. I think in China, this year the bottleneck is the policy coming out late, and the developers need sufficient time to get the connection approved, to get the land secured. So some of developers there's no sufficient time. So some of projects will be delayed in Q1 next year. But from the policy regulator perspective, next year is totally different. They are going to moving very quickly. So just like the general said, the policy, the framework, the scheme of the framework in general is the same with this year. But subsidy level, will be down a little bit, but still very positive. And the policy will for sure come out very early, next couple of months. So, frank speaking, we are very optimistic for China next year, which is this year.
Got it. And quick follow-up on that, the 40 gigawatt China demand in 2020, does that include the 2019 projects being delayed into the first half of next year?
It's brand new in the 2020 projects.
Got it. And then just one housekeeping, and I'll jump back in the queue. The Q4 revenue guidance, does that include the Mexico asset sale? And if not, then could you touch upon the timing of the sale?
Yeah, good question. And this revenue does not consider, the revenue from the monetization of Mexico projects. So it's purely for the 4.4 gigawatt module shipments. And the Mexico project, we have signed agreements. It's going to submit some kind of, regular approval procedures. We expect to be closed in a couple of months. And it could be, by the end of the year or early next year, in Q1.
Got it. I'll jump back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Your next question is from Philip Shen, who's from Roth Capital Partners. Your line is now open, Philip. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for the questions. First one is on pricing. Can you confirm what your Q3 ASP was? Our basic calculation was for about 31.5 cents, but that seems a bit high. Also, what was your module-only revenue for Q3? And then looking ahead for Q4, and given the guidance that you have there, we get to an implied ASP of 27.9 cents. Are we close on that? And if not, can you talk about the ASP that you see for Q4? Thanks.
Hey, Phil. I would take the ASP, so I would leave the revenue question to Charlie. So for ASP side, as we just stated, I think the ASP is slightly up compared Q3 versus Q2. And for Q4, it will drop because there's more shipment to China. It's a more spot market. The current market price is lower than the contract we have signed quite a while ago. So that's why the blended ASPs will got lower. Approximately at the range you just talked about. The detailed number we have to check. And for the Q1 and for the ASP trend, we believe the market will continue. Let's say in general, it's stable, but steadily going down quarter by quarter or year by year. I think the whole industry is going into a grid parity, which will be very helpful to stabilizing the turbulence of this market price. But in general, in order to be more competitive for solar installations globally, I think the module or the whole solar system installation or particularly the LCOE cost will continue to going to be more competitive.
So So, Philip, could you repeat your question on revenue?
Yeah, just simplistically for your Q3 revenue, how much of that was pure module revenue that we can associate
Okay.
with your shipments? How much was
Yeah.
wafer revenue, for example?
Yeah. It's roughly, I think, the majority part, 97%, 96% is coming from module revenue.
Okay. That's great. So then, Gener, you were just talking about ASPs trending down through next year. Can you talk about the margins you expect to see by quarter next year if we start to see, if we look at global pricing for monocrystalline, especially, and also China pricing, it's quite weak, and you guys have been able to maintain a pretty high ASP. So maybe talk about that premium. And then also, Charlie, if you can talk about the margin trend that you see for 2020, that would be very helpful. Thanks.
Firstly, I think China's ASP is down, I think, starting from third quarter and throughout to October. And because China demand is weak and due to the late policy. But now, actually, starting from the late October, what we are seeing is China demand is huge, is pumping up. So the capacity constraint is a big issue for us. And it's very tight for the solar cell resources, even the solar cell market price. And I think increase a little bit. And for Jinko, we have we put the business highlights in the third quarter earnings release because it's a kind of turning point. Why a turning point? Because we have completed the transformation for the mono-based technology capacity. And if you look at our capacity, basically, you can general think about from looking to the 2020, we have integrated capacity each quarter, roughly 4 gigawatts. So, now we, I think we are very, in a very good position in terms of our capacity scale, in terms of our in-house integrated production cost. Under that, we are promoting the high-efficient products like the Tiger, the next generation high-efficient technology integrated with TR technology. And we are promoting the SWAN, the bifacial. So next year, just like the two or maybe three new products is going to account for over 40% of our total shipments. So the new products, my key point is the new products, the efficiency is higher, output is higher, but the production cost may be lower or the same with traditional products. And so we are focusing on the in-house capacity, gross margins, and we are targeting roughly 20%-25%. So that is our goal.
And just to be clear, Charlie, that's what you could possibly see for next year, 20%-25% for your in-house margins.
It's in-house
for 2020.
We still need to do when we do 20 gigawatts, we still need to do some third party buy the solar cells. But what I'm saying, for each quarter in general, we have 4 gigawatts, roughly 4 gigawatts integrated capacity, and we still need to do some outside, So it's depending on each quarter. Some quarters we may buy more from third party. Some quarters we need,
So in general, Philip, I think Charlie's point is that with the higher level of the in-house, let's say, vertical integrated capacities, and we are manufacturing a higher, more competitive, and higher efficiency products, which can generate better margins than a standard commodity. And we have more confidence than ever that the gross margins and also the profitabilities are much more controlled.
Okay, great. One last quick question as it relates to JinkoSolar power debt. Can you just update us on whether or not there's any liability there for JinkoSolar power? How much of the JinkoSolar power debt are you guaranteeing, if any, these days? Thanks.
I think it's kind of legacy, you know, legacy relationship, right? And you understand back into 2016 when we spin off the JinkoSolar power, we have pre-existing guaranteed relationship for JinkoSolar power by the end of 2016. So the guaranteed amount we have been, you know, we have disclosed in 20F, you know, each year, and it's going down year over year, and each year on average, roughly the guaranteed number will be down $50 million to $100 million. So you can get the year end, let's say 2018 20F number, and the cut, you know, $50 million to $100 million. And you can get the roughly number.
Okay, so roughly now it's about $600 million. Is that right?
I don't think so. Something. Yeah, I don't think so. I'm
we'll
going
double
check. We'll get back to you. Yeah. I think it should be lower.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you. I'll pass it on.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is from Alex Minsell from Goldman Sachs. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, it's actually Brian Lee here. How's it going? Thanks for taking the questions. Maybe just Charlie, on the gross margin question, going back to that for a bit. Appreciate the, you know, the view on the 20 to 25% internalized capability on gross margin. As we think about maybe the cadence, though, because this year you had sort of a weaker first half in terms of margin profile versus the second half, how you're exiting here, could we expect something similar in 2020, given, again, you sort of have this similar dynamics where you'll be ramping up capacity? I know you had some capacity ramp up headwinds on the margins earlier in the year. And then it looks like, you know, obviously pricing is going to be weaker here heading into year end, and then seasonally in Q1, typically we get another pricing downtick. So as you think about all those moving pieces, is it fair to assume you kind of start, you know, lower on the margins here to, in early 2020, and then you ramp up just like we saw in 19?
I think it's a totally different scenario. Let's say 2020, you know, the first half year, which is the first half year of the 2019. If you look at our capacity roadmap and the ramping up schedules, actually our capacity, you know, investment in 2019, we invested roughly $500 million. The mono wafer, the perk sale, you know, came out in the second half year of 2019. So the impact is happening in the second half year. And the first half year, 2019, it's an extremely worst case is the perk sale is in supply shortage. The price is very high, and we have very limited capacities. We need to buy a lot of volume for the perk sale for the first half year of 2019. But the story is going to never happen next year, because our capacity came out the second half year this year. Our new, you know, second stage, you know, the mono wafer capacity will come out very, very quickly, you know, in the second quarter to, you know, first quarter. We are ramping up the second stage, you know, the mono wafer starting from now, and Q1 continue to ramp up and full capacity in the second quarter. So the key point is the volume is there, and it's totally different, you know, with the first half year 2019. And I just give you some numbers is, you know, the volume, production volume next year, 2019, will be dramatically increased for the mono wafer, for the perk cell, even for the modules. If you look at the production volume, it's different concept with capacity, because capacity came out, you know, late this year and early next year. So year over year, production volume for mono wafer is up 100 115% year-over-year to 2020 versus 2019. For the PERC sale, the third sale is up roughly 60% and module is 70%. So my key point is integrated production volume. I just, you know, talked each quarter roughly 4 gigawatts. That is produced by ourselves. And we have, you know, we have confidence in our leading cost structures, and we have confidence in our profitability levels. Even for the, I think the ASP, you know, is you know, it's a.
So when we did this sales plan in 2020 as well, in order to stabilize the gross margins against this turbulence on the market price or the spot market changes, we're trying to, let's say, plan equivalent volume growth against our capacity ramping up plan. So that will help be helpful, we believe will be helpful to stabilize the gross margins. We do not want to surprise the capital markets.
Okay, fair enough. I appreciate the color. Maybe a couple more. Just on the modeling here for 2020, CapEx, you said is going to be $300 million. I know you spent you know, closer to like $500, you said, Charlie, for 2019. In the past, I think you said 7 cents to 10 cents a watt CapEx for wafer and 2 to 3 cents a watt for module. If I run those numbers, it seemed like 2020 CapEx will be, you know, more in line with the 2019 CapEx. Is there something changing for the CapEx figures for 2020, or are you getting subsidized on any portion of the CapEx for 2020? And then with that CapEx view for 2020, do you expect to be free cash flow positive on the year?
Yeah, I think, you know, we are very confident next year we are going to be, you know, free cash flow positive. And first is our profitability level should be, you know, very high growth next year. The EBITDA, you know, the operating cash flow will be very healthy next year. And second one is the CapEx question. The investment level is lower, you know, basically next year, which is this year. And next year is just 5 gigawatts capacity for the mono wafer and roughly 6 gigawatts, you know, the module capacity. And it's going to, you know, it's, if breakdown, you know, it's roughly $160 million for the mono wafer, for $100 million for the module, and I think $40 million for the upgrades, you know, maintenance capex. And if you look at 2019, you know, we invest a lot. You know, we invest on the PERC sale, conversion existing multi-sale, as well as we're investing the next generation N-type PERC sale. We invest on the mono wafers. And for the second stage, 5 gigawatts mono wafer come out second quarter next year. Some of CapEx have already been reflected in this year. So this is another some impact on the CapEx next year.
Okay, understood. And then last one, housekeeping. I think in the past you've put in the slides the CapEx, the D&A, and the operating cash flow for the quarter. Can you provide those figures for the third quarter?
I mean depreciation, right?
CapEx, depreciation, and operating cash flow. I think you've usually put those metrics into the slides.
Depreciation amortization should be roughly the same, you know, slightly higher with the second quarter. The operating cash flow actually is pretty good in the third quarter because our profitability, you know, gross margin. And as you can see, our operating efficiency improved for inventories, for accounts receivables. I think it's roughly $100 million to $120 million, you know, operating cash flow in the third quarter.
And then just on the CapEx for the third quarter?
CapEx, I need to check, but accumulatively for the Q1 to Q3, roughly $410 million. So I'm talking about this all year, you know, $500 million.
Okay, so 410 through the first three quarters.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Your next question is from John Segridge from Luminus. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Just want to come back to kind of the profitability of the business. You've done a great job of improving the margin. But as you kind of look at it, it seems like the margin improvement has really been driven this year by ASPs going up rather than costs going down. And I guess that's attributable to the fact that you've moved from lower spec product to like more mono perk. Is that the right way to think about it?
It's not right, John. And you're right. And Q3, our ASP is slightly up. And the impact to the gross margin, I think, is not so big.
I mean, it looks like the ASP is up 2 cents, Charlie, isn't it?
I don't think so. And we have our revenues. And the second one is the Q3, you know, our production volume, because of the mono wafer, the Q3, we are in the ramping up stage. So it's ramp up stage by stage. The output, let's say the full capacity, 5 gigawatts new mono wafer capacity, you know, if running full capacity, it's 100%, but the third quarter is roughly just output is 20-30%. But fourth quarter is going to be, you know, 100% impact. So my answer to your question is, you know, it's because, you know, firstly, our production cost improved quarter over quarter. Second one is Q3, the impact, the volume for the new capacity impact is limited. It's just 20%, 30% for capacity. It's
okay.
The same situation for the sale capacity.
Right. Okay, so looking at fourth quarter then, you've got ASPs you're guiding down a little over 10%, and you would expect your cost to fall similarly?
It's two kind of impact, you know. Fourth quarter, because we ramp up to 100%, you know, the capacity, the volume is increased a lot. What I'm talking about volume is self-produced volume for the mono wafer, for the perk sale, you know, in the fourth quarter. Second one is our lead, you know, our in-house production costs continue to improve. So offset against our exposure to China with relatively lower ASP. So that is why we guide the gross margin, you know, in the fourth quarter will improve.
Stable. Yeah. Okay. Can you give us the in-house cost for 2Q, 3Q, and what you think it is in 4Q?
We don't like its confidentiality, but you can do some estimate, ASP, gross margin. You can do some kind of calculation.
Okay. All right. Maybe we'll follow up offline. Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are currently no more questions in queue. I'd like to hand the call over back to Ripple for her closing remarks. Please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you for joining us tonight. This concludes the call.
Thank you, Ripple. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference call for today. Thank you all for your participation. You may all now disconnect.